Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Amin, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Lori. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you very much, Lori. Appreciate taking the time to interview me.
I am very excited to chat with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm basically a lifelong Michigander. I lived in Connecticut for a very short while, but basically I lived in Michigan all my life. Mm-hmm. And these books are Bookmobile Cat books are kind of set in Northwest Lower Michigan, which is where I live now. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a place that I'm familiar with. I grew up in the 80s or went to college in the 80s, got a degree in geology because I wanted to work outside. And now I've had an office job for, it was actually 40 years this year that I had. It's like I looked around, it's like, ah, crap, I've had an office job for 40 years. So much for that geology degree. But no, things have basically worked out for me. And I started writing seriously in 1998. I think I decided I was going to try and write a book. I remember exactly the moment I decided I was actually going to do it. And I was terrified. It's like, oh my God, how do I do this? I don't know how to do this. My husband looks at me and he said, well, just start writing. Oh, yeah. Well, that's actually pretty good advice. So yeah. He's not a reader. So I write them faster than he reads them. But he keeps me fed and watered while I write. So that all kind of works out. So yeah, I started writing seriously in 1998. I think it was, my first one was awful. I think it was a romance or something. And then I wrote kind of a mystery, which made sense because I mostly read mysteries, or certainly did at the time. And then 6 1/3 books later, in 11 years, I got my first publishing contract. So, so I'm a late bloomer and a slow learner, but I got there. So, yeah. And that was my first series was PTA mystery series. Laura Alden was my pen name for that. And that was a 5-book series. And then kind of in the middle there, I came up with a Bookmobile series. And it's been running. 12th book will be out next week and 13th will be out next year. So.
So tell us about what you expect. What can we expect from the series about the amateur sleuth characters, setting? You mentioned a little bit about being set in Michigan, Northern Michigan, but what other things we should expect? It's a bookmobile, which is actually
idea. Yeah, I mean, it being in the cozy genre, it's nothing horrible happens to small children. Nothing horrible happens to pets, of course. Typically, only the bad people get killed, although not always. But there's typically no bad language. They're very comforting reads. The world comes to rights in the end. And particular books are, this is Northwest Lower Michigan. So on the mitten, it's up by your tip of your pinky kind of a thing. Although it's not real. It's kind of made up of a bunch of different parts of Northwest Lower Michigan. It kind of floats around kind of Brigadoon-like. I never really pinned it down. I realized at one point, it's like, oh, I don't think I've ever really said where it is. Oh, that works out good. So it's kind of an amalgam of a bunch of different bits and different counties. But I do refer to real places and I try to make it obvious when I do. But yeah, the actual physical library that I describe in this series is the actual library in Charlevoix, Michigan, which is a gorgeous library. And I actually did a talk there a couple of years ago when my books came out. And I think it was Crime That Binds actually has that library on the cover. So I thought that was really cool that they got their library on the cover of a real book. So that was kind of fun. But yeah, so a lot of my day job, I work in the public sector. So, and my previous to that, when I worked in the private sector, I was in the civil engineering and surveying field. So a lot of those kinds of jobs and knowledge make it into my books because that's what I happen to know. But they're just a lot of fun to write. And the cat stuff is always entertaining. Eddie, the cat, the main cat in the book, he's based on a real cat that we had for many years. He's gone on to his reward now, but he was, and I kind of leave it up to the reader to decide whether or not Eddie's actually helping solve the mysteries. Minnie doesn't think he, Minnie has no clue. My main character, she has no idea that Eddie's trying to help her. If he is, I leave it up to the reader. So it's kind of a fun little thing.
I love this. And so we're actually, I was watching some little kayaking, but I know you love to row. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about this, because we're in the Olympics, so we might as well just be like,
Yeah, my husband and I, we live on a lake, a family property. We can't actually afford to live here because buying property like this is really expensive. So yeah, we're fortunate enough to live on a gorgeous lake, and I try to get out rowing as much as I can. It's being on the water first thing in the morning while there's water, it's flat and sun's just come up and nobody else is out there. It's just, it's really nice. And it took me, I got my first skull, well, my only skull, 10 years ago now, something like that.
Yeah.
And it took me like a full year being on the water to figure out actually how to row straight. It's harder than you think.
Imagine. I'm seriously in awe.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun. It's like, I remember watching, you're probably too young to remember, there was a series called Kojak.
Yeah.
I think it was Telly Savalas. And then there's a little bit on that, the intro. I don't know where he lived. I don't remember, so long ago. Boston, maybe. Anyway, and there's a scene at the very beginning of the intro to the TV show where he's rowing. And it's like, that looks really fun. So ever since then, I was probably 10 years old when I saw that. It's like, so I finally got the opportunity to try it. And it's like, yeah, that's just what I like to do. Just what I like to do. It's, yeah, I never did it. I mean, it always looked fun, but it was when I went to college and I guess I don't even know the school. I went to Eastern Michigan. I don't know if they had a crew team or not. I wasn't that interested in it at that point. There probably was, but I didn't get into it. So yeah, it's late to it, but it's pretty cool. And you can go really fast, get going with rowing. It's just the nature of the beast. They're faster in kayaks because you could just that much more with the sliding seat. You can just go faster.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for indulging me in this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite sports kayak is the Rock Ridge kayaking in Olympics car, where they have to go like this course and they go back.
Oh, yeah.
It's a double shebang. Yep. But I love watching crew, like watching the rowers like down the river and trying to figure out like how they're going to make it to the end. I'm like, this is fascinating. I know there's a lot of, especially when you're doing this team, there's a whole lot of like, have to practice and you said you're all saying the same things, otherwise to mess up the whole thing's messed up.
The eights are, they're a thing of beauty to watch. I mean, they're so incredibly synchronized, and when it clicks, when they're all just moving in motion, because you know, eight people doing the exact same thing exact same time, that's a skill.
Oh,
it takes a lot of practice to get that kind of the synchronicity going. It's really cool to watch.
It does. All right. Let's talk about A No Plot to Stand On, which is your release that's coming out next week. Talk to us about what can we expect. What's happening to Manny?
Oh, I actually have a copy of it right here. So I got to remember. Because I wrote this like a year and a half ago. Oh, yeah. Her best friend runs a kind of fancy restaurant. And she's got new babies, new twins, her friend Kristen does. And there's a kind of a poisoning at the restaurant. And so the reputation is everything in restaurants. So Minnie decides she has to help Kristen because Kristen's kind of distracted with the infants. And so if someone's going to save the restaurant, it's going to be Minnie. And then someone dies. Someone's poisoned the same way in a similar ways to the mild poisoning of the incident. And so Minnie discovers that body, of course, and she gets even deeper involved. And yeah, and I believe this is the flipping here. Minnie has been dating this man named Rafe for many books now, and this is the book where they actually get married.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's been coming for quite a while. Took a few books for her to get, because she's known Rafe since she was a little kid. And I remember the very first book I wrote, her love interest was someone else entirely. And my editor said, it's like, oh, I bet she ends up with Rafe at the end. And I go, no, she won't.
12 months later.
Editors know. It's like, no, that's not right. They're just friends. It's like, nope.
Oh, I know this. We got friends and lovers and the romance trope. So I love this. Oh, so it's exciting to pair off, but there are 12 books in the series. They can be mostly read as a standalone, nicking one, two.
Yeah, I try very hard. I mean, the characters, you're not going to know everything about the character, of course, but the plots absolutely stand alone. They don't hinge on anything. I kind of tell people, it's like, yeah, you can read them from the beginning or you pick one up. It's getting to know a person. You
Yes.
don't learn everything about them all at once. You learn it eventually. And each book, you learn a little bit more about the people. So I try to very hard to make each book stand alone.
All right, so I asked this question to most of my cozy mystery authors, and is what's a favorite way to kill a character? Because that's your business. You have to kill them in some way. You can poison them, you can plug in, you can actually like shoot them, or they can die in an accident or whatever it is. But what's your favorite way to kill a character?
Was kind of funny. I don't think too much about that. It kind of grows out of the well, okay. When I'm writing my books, I start with the time of year.
Okay.
Because I'm in Northwest Lower Michigan, it's cold here a lot. And when it's summer, there's a lot of people around because of all the tourists. Our population at least triples in the summer, not more on the weekends. And so a lot of what happens, who gets killed and why they get killed matters a lot because of time of year.
Okay.
And it's like one, but for instance, one book I had, someone died during maple syrup season, which is in March and April. So that methodology would be way different. I guess I don't even remember how that person died, come to think of it, because that was like 8 books ago. So the methodology depends on time of year, who it is, what the situation is. I think I've had multiple car accidents. I had the one poisoning. Boy, I don't remember. I think I had a drowning or two.
Yeah.
Yes, I had a couple of drownings.
You're more methodical. You're more methodical about like the scene of the crime, like what it's sudden scene. Like let's figure out. Let's go backwards. So it's like understand like where it's happening, what's happening, who is it going to be killed, and then what makes that character cheap.
Yeah, it's more the less about the method and more the how and the why and the where. I think I've had a couple of people been shot. The one I'm writing right now, the victim was actually shot with a bow and arrow because while it was bow season for deer hunting. So was it an accident or was it a murder? So
No.
that kind of, I guess I had that with a rifle a few number of books ago, but it was so long ago. I don't, it's like, I know,
It's
some people get concerned. It's like, well, I already killed somebody that way. And it's like, yeah, and
you can do a little tweak around it or something.
it was books ago and people get killed. I don't feel the need to be creative, I guess, with my killing methodologies because it's not, to me, it's not that much a part of the book. For some people, it is. The methodology can actually add a lot to the plot itself, but my brain just doesn't work that way.
There we go. Awesome. So let's talk some book recommendations. You know how many books to recommend our listeners to think about?
Lots of books, so many books, so many books. Looking around. I
Okay, right.
mean, I guess I think more in terms of authors
No,
than book titles. Gets, I know, anyway, he was sticking with cozies. There's so many good ones. Krista Davis, a friend of mine, she very popular, the Diva series and the Wags and
And it's
Wag,
the art.
oh yeah, and the color one too. Yeah, she's got a mother successful series. Daryl Wood Gerber, she's also a great series. Sophie Kelly, lots of good stuff. Laura Childs, so many good writers out there. And but it's outside of cozies, stick, there's so many. What was I just reading? Oh, Karen Slaughter, anything by her. Oh my gosh, she's so good. I saw she gave a lecture in Traverse City Town near
Yeah.
a few years ago and talked and saw the lecture and got it's like, okay, Karen, can I ask a question here? Because I did a Q&A. And I said, it's like, okay, I just picked up, I don't remember which book, I think it was Cop Town. And the very first scene, and I had no idea if it's going to be a recurring character or not, but the character was so, there was so much depth to the character that she conveys it in like 2 paragraphs. I don't know how she does it. She's amazing. Just really knows her characters inside and out. And so I kind of asked her, does it just come to you? Do you do kind of character sketches? What do you do? She goes, I just write. It's like, okay, all right. If you don't know, you do it. Perfect.
Yeah, I got to talk to Karen. three or four years ago, like, I think it was during pandemic. I was in a different apartment. And she was like, it was a delight to talk to her, but like, not to like, the amount of depth that she does, but at the same time, you can't replicate that. Like,
she's amazing. And Lori King, I'll read anything by her.
Yeah.
I think she's amazing too. There's so many. And what was I reading recently? I think I said it in the thingy, Robin McKinley, writes fantasy type stuff. And I reread that Spindle's End for the first time. Advantage of getting older is I remembered hardly any of it. It's like, I didn't know I read this because I bought it. I remembered very little of it, but she's incredible world building.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wish I could do that. I just don't do that description. It's like, when I'm writing, it's almost like a movie playing in my head.
Yeah.
And just kind of moving along with what the character does. I don't really stick in one place very long to really, it's like, I have no idea what kind of car Minnie drives.
Okay.
It's a sedan. I don't think I've even ever said what color it was, because part of that's intentional, because that would mean I would have to write it down and remember it from book to book.
Yeah.
That's a problem for me. Some people are really good at doing that. Me, not so much. I had some reader, because every once in a while, Minnie goes and gets pizza or a sub at the Fat Boy sub shop there. And apparently, I've said in multiple books what Minnie's favorite pizza was.
Oh,
some reader called me out and said, it's like, well, this book, it was this kind, and this book, it was that kind.
She gets multiple.
It's like, we altered our favorite kind. And she goes, well, no, but she goes back to the other kind in the next book. The author couldn't remember.
It's just different kind of kind. Like, different multitudes. It's all good.
Oh, so, it was funny. It's like, I don't know, the author just didn't remember.
Especially when you're doing 12 books, like, it's a lot of details to keep
it. Yes. I have the manuscript I'm working on right now. It's due the end of August. And luckily, there's an automatic 30-day extension because, you know, I'm not done yet. But where was I going with this? Don't remember.
It's all the details.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When it went writing. It's like, I don't want to interrupt my, thank you for caught me there, the flow of writing. I don't want to because I can write typically in like, I have like 10 minutes here, 20 minutes here, 10 minutes here. So I don't want to stop the kind of flow when I'm doing first draft stuff. So I just write XX which means something I have to look up. I'll just come back later and fill that in with something from another book or something from another part of the manuscript. I just have to check it out later. And I was looking at it the other day, because I compile it all after doing the dailies, and it's like, wow, this thing is just riddled with XXs. It's good. I'm writing number 13 now. It's like, there's a lot of books to. So I sometimes cheat and I intentionally write vague. It's like, it's actual wonder. It's like, was that or that? And that, and that way, if I cheat writing like that, I don't have to look it up.
Yeah.
So lazy. Yeah.
Yes. I think it keeps it moving. It's not so bogged down by the detail. It's like, it's laid down done better than perfect. Like, you don't have to do professionalism. You can just do it, just done. It just keeps you going. It keeps the story moving forward because it's time. People are wild. Like, things change. I don't know about you, but I have hyperfixation about the most random shit. So, like, food is one of those. Like, I love something more now. And then I'm going to eat it so many times that then I don't want to eat it ever again. And then this way for 40 years, like, it just changes. Like, what I like 5 books ago is very different from what I like now. So it is all good. It's just laid down, like, your character's evolved. It's done better than perfect. It's just getting you to where you need to go next. And the life.
Glee.
Yes. Lori, tell us where you can find online.
Books are on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pretty much everywhere. I actually don't have a website right now, but I'm fairly active on Facebook. So the Lori Cast Facebook page.
Lori, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the invite.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Watch Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the Watch Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading!
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.